Welcome to the Hay Kings podcast, sponsored by Vermeer, your expert in hay and forage equipment. Today on the podcast, we're joined by Cosmos Fitzpatrick. He runs Aidenbrook. Is there anything else that you want to talk about? Just broad picture hay market, maybe your outlook for the 2023 season.
Yeah, I'm definitely. Let me talk about bale size and specifically bale size and what matters to customers, kind of market trends.
Here. Yeah.
So there's a few market trends that I wanted to highlight that are things that are changing domestically in the market that I'm noticing are making a big difference. So when we talk about prices going very high on hay, we got to think about, you know, like any product, think about hay not as a commodity, but as a product to a customer. If the price goes up, you expect the value of that product to go up as well. Okay, so this has caused increased prices is always a, if you just step back and look at it from a zoomed out perspective, it causes buying trends to end up changing. We talked a little bit about demand destruction earlier with almond hulls, and you'll see it with cottonseed and other things like that. But let's talk about specifically the bales themselves and the products that you're producing. So there's a couple ways to make a higher value product to your customers. Okay. One of the things that I've seen is that the bale baron bundler has taken off. Specifically, who is it mattered most for? Feed stores.
Handling, right? It's the handling component.
Exactly. You can have one person with a skid steer or a forklift and a grapple unload a full semi in 25 minutes when you have bale barons. And before that, you know, if it was two string, hand stacked bales that were in the trailer, you've got to have four or five guys. These are guys that are very prone to quitting. They're going to want top dollar for 2 hours of work to unload my guys take 2 hours, but you know, typically sometimes 4 or 5 hours to unload a trailer. And, you know, if you're talking Florida or Texas, you're talking sweltering heat and they're out there. I mean, it's not a desirable thing on the other end to unload that truck.
Nope. I've stuffed dry vans. That is.
Oh yeah.
That is.
It's brutal.
Miserable work.
You're sneezing up black dust for a long time.
Yeah, even with a dust mask, it's rough.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
You're never doing it when it's cold. Well, that's not true.
A lot of times it's not cold. Yeah. So half of the people in the U.S. it's nice and hot for them to do it. So bale baron bundle is a way of providing a little bit more value in the product to your customer. You know, they're willing to pay. You're trying to justify a higher price per ton for hay. Well, that's a way of providing more value to them. They're happy to do that because they're saving money on the labor end and convenience side of it too. Now, bale barons are, you've got to make sure that the hay is cured out nicely before you put it in the bale baron bundler. And you got to make sure that, you know, I prefer if you leave the bales out for a little bit. I'd rather them sit out in the field for a day. If you're in a nice dry, arid climate, let them sit out and let them cook out their first 24 hours outside before you go and stack them up. And definitely don't fully wrap bale baron stack. Don't fully wrap it bottom and top until at least 2 weeks. And I know that there's weather issues and there's reasons why people do it, you know. But ideally you'd want to let that cure out well, because you have issues inside the bundles. But if you're using a good preservative, or if you're using a good, if you're stacking it up nicely, you're letting it cure out. It's a great product to increase value.
I think most folks would tell you that the moisture content and temperature will go up in hay for the first, well, at very least, it's variable for the first 2 weeks after it's put into a bale.
That's my thing. 2 to 3 weeks is minimum to let that cure out. And you don't want to, in that stage, letting air flow around it is the most important thing. So you don't want to fully wrap anything like that or put it into a van trailer. I've seen that. That's a bad mistake that immediately, I won't load any fresh hay on a trailer. That's super dangerous to do.
I'll tell you why. And this should sound like the voice of experience. You shove, you know, 22 tons into a dry van and you ship it down to Colorado, and the guy in Colorado opens it 18 hours later and it's a solid wall of white mold.
Oh, exactly. It's, I mean, if you want to make a science experiment, go ahead and do it. Yep. But it's great at growing mold, that's for sure.
Yep.
Another big thing that I'm seeing as a market trend that's something that is worth, I've seen it. I've bought a lot of this type hay, and it's been worth the investment for the growers, is to get a Staley West steamer.
Now that's a little bit more of a West Coast thing, right?
Yeah, that's definitely a West Coast thing. You don't want to...
Mississippi East just had a heart attack thinking about adding moisture to their hay.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Actually, that's a very good point. And you got a lot of listeners east of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
In fact, I wouldn't even go to the Mississippi. I would go further west than the
Mississippi. You'd say Colorado, like the Front Range.
Yeah, I've seen some guys, you know, if you look at a map of the U.S., you'll see some, you know, Western Kansas, Oklahoma, Western Texas, you know, Western Nebraska, some guys in South Dakota and North Dakota are able to use it, but you're thumbing the line there of moisture. So those areas, that's really your border, everything west of there. I know, you know, in some areas close to the ocean there, you still get quite a bit of moisture. So, you know, it's not for everyone, but steamed hay does make a big difference to our customers. They do prefer it. It is a more consistent product, and just the leaf retention, things like that. It produces a great quality product. So that's another way that I've seen farmers be able to, you know, maintain high prices, but also produce more value for the customers. And the customers are okay. The biggest thing that I'm looking at is, let's not cause demand destruction for hay, you know. And when I look at that, that means, you know, how can we match our customers' expectations? There are certain customers that are going to turn away from hay if it doesn't provide the value that they're paying for. So these are two ways of providing value to your customers, where they're going to be okay with paying a higher price. Now, of course, you, like all things in farming, I'm a strong believer in that you have to crunch your numbers and make sure that it works financially for you. Not all operations are set up financially in a way where it works. And especially when you go to higher interest rates, you know, you've got to know your numbers.
It gets way harder.
You got to know your numbers.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time helping producers with field level production budgets. And that exercise is, I mean, the budget's going to be wrong. It's the planning that matters. It's the exercise of going through the budget and having some idea of where your expenses are coming from and how to manage them.
Exactly. It puts you in the right mindset.
Yep.
To make investments in your farm.
The only other thing that I'd add in there is, if you do a budget in the spring, go back and look at it in the fall and see why you were wrong. That's like the highest level of management. We made a mistake. Yes. Why did we make a mistake?
Yep. Let's go back to your principles. What was the principle that you learned from it? Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Let's take a break there and we'll get a word from our sponsor.
With the 605 in, I feel I can go to the field and we just bail. We're not stopping, we're not adjusting. It's ready to go and it goes. I spend more time baling with less issues that I've had with other balers in the past. I'm Ken Moses and I get more hay put up right with the 605 in Vermeer baler.
Hear the full story at makinghay.com/haykings.
Two other products I wanted to highlight that are producing more value on the market. So three string, for all of our three string farmers out there, you know, three string is common in the West. I've never really seen any produced in the East.
There's a few like Freeman balers out there, especially in the straw world.
Yeah, straw, that you'll see that. Yep. Especially over, you know, Kentucky, that area, whatnot like that. Yep. If you're going to make three string bales, you want to make a product that's going to be able to move on the domestic market as well as it's going to move on the export market. And I would highly advise chambering down your balers to a 14-inch bale, a 14-inch chamber kit, so you can get 420 bales in a load. Your customers, at the end of the day, you've got very few, very, very little of the market is going to be able to take very, very little of the end user market. And what I mean by that is the person that owns the horses are going to be able to use on the domestic market a full semi-load of hay. So the vast majority of your hay is going to a feed store. And you got to understand, the feed store, its objective is to bring in a product that can ship to them efficiently. when you're getting 350 bales on a load, and you divide it by the overall cost of that load versus 420 bales, it makes a significant difference to that feed store owner. They're able to get that product to market a lot better. That dollar price difference, that's what they're making at the end of the day at that feed store. So it makes a big difference to them. They're going to prefer chambered bales over non-chambered bales all day.
And this is where I'm going to push back on you a little bit and remind everybody that the only fair way to trade hay is on weight and not bale count. We would never think about selling handfuls of corn. Like that's essentially what we're doing when we're talking about bale sales. I have a firm position on this, but I know that's not how the market always works.
I totally respect your position and I agree. I mean, we sell a lot of hay by ton, but at the end of the day, what matters to us is that the customer, it yes. works financially for the customer and how yes. they're selling it. And a lot of the vast majority, I would say, 95% of the feed stores that we work with
are by the bale sales. Yeah.
By the bale. And they're selling by the bale. It's just simpler for their inventory management. They don't have scales on site. They don't have those types of things that want to.
Often there's legal requirements around having certified scales and those kind of things that make that harder. I get it.
Exactly. But I 100% agree with you. The fairest way to buy. And that's why I'd say, it works for those buyers that are buying off of, they're more buying off of subjective qualities anyway, but they're, at the end of the day, that's what matters most to them. We want them to succeed. We want those feed stores to succeed at what they're doing. And yep. so if that adds to their goal, that's, the way they want it. One other thing too. Okay. So when you're baling straw, a lot of the guys that are baling straw are crop residue.
Mm-hmm.
It's mattering more and more about getting bale weight. Okay. So a lot of times I'll see, someone uses a 3x3 baler or a 4x4 baler to bale up straw. That's good if it's going short distance, but there's this overall market trend that I see that product is moving further and further to get to market. And even on the short haul markets, like we move a lot of straw in Idaho and in Colorado, even on those short haul markets where it's going, 40, 50 miles to market, getting bale weight on matters a lot more and more to the truckers. They're willing to haul at a better price if you've got better bale weight, and those products end up being more desirable. So if it makes sense to you, of course, one of the upgrades, one of the ways of producing more value, and we'll pay more per ton for bales that weigh heavy.
Yeah, because the shipping's more efficient. Yeah.
Exactly. It's simple like that. So, if you're looking at your single cost per ton.
I do like that you just told me to make hay bales smaller, but make straw bales heavier.
and why? And it all comes down to freight. Who are our customers? How are they buying? Yep. What's the freight? And there's a lot of nuances to this market. I could go on all day and night about all different things about the market, how things move, which areas are market setters and how these market setting areas move and things like that. Those are just some tidbits from today. The main takeaways I would take from this is that what are we going to learn from this past year? My biggest thing that I'm learning is that, I'm very happy that I didn't speculate in the market, and I feel very bad for a lot of the farmers that I'm helping right now, but they've lost $40, $50 a ton, and there's nothing I can do about it. I don't get to pick the market prices on hay.
Right.
The market supply and demand decides what the price is on hay.
Yep.
And, speculating doesn't, it adds to the pain, although there are benefits to it. And I understand the reasons behind doing it. It adds to the pain. And then the other things, just those tidbits about what produces a higher value product on the market. What's gonna matter to your customer?
Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a really great discussion, and I think pretty balanced and all encompassing. So I really appreciate that.
No, I really appreciate the opportunity. I love the podcast. I actually was recently introduced to it, and I've been tearing through the episodes. Oh, but so much
listening.
Educational info.
Yes, keep listening.
yep. So I was sharing it with my team of people, and so I got a pretty decent team of people here, and great group of people to work with. But our whole goal is to move product to market. I always tell everyone this, but I think that life ceases when movement ceases. It's not the other way around. So our whole mission and our goal is to move the market, and by moving markets, by keeping things moving, keeping product moving for our farmers, for our producers, that keeps their farms alive. It keeps their communities alive. It keeps everything alive. So, that's what we're passionate about doing, is navigating the markets, understanding this, getting better at it, helping everyone to continue to keep products moving, keep their farms alive, keep their dreams alive. So that's our whole mission behind it.
If somebody wants to learn more about your company, how do they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us on Facebook, Aiden Brook, AdenBrook. And you also go to AidenBrook.com. So you'll find more information about our company there. But also, if you go on our company directory, I think my cell phone's right on there, but they got the rest of the team too. Give us a call. All of us would love to talk markets with our farmers, whether we buy your hay or not. We'd love to help you navigate the market. That's just things that we love to do. So give us a call if you want to know, if something will work, if something won't work, if you're thinking of planning. Full disclosure, I don't know everything, and I don't think I ever will.
Sure.
But we sure would love to help. And we do go out there and we learn a lot from traveling all over the United States and seeing so many farms. So if there's something that, if you want to pick our brains or anyone on our team's brain, go ahead and give us a call. We're available.
Well, thank you very much.
No, appreciate it. Thank you.
I'd like to say a special thank you to Vermeer for sponsoring the podcast. I want to thank Nick at Palmieri Sound for doing all of our audio editing, and Jessica Palmieri for doing all of our social media work. Thank you very much.